And it makes me think as I study, and I hope it would also make you think and reflect about who we are as the local church today. You know, Calvary Chapel, Refuge Fellowship, here we really place a strong and great importance on the practice of expository teaching, a verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter, book-by-book approach to teaching the Bible. Now, my desire, as we are serving as the church, the Word will also always be taught in such a way that we can all understand. As they say, to simply teach the Word of God, simply. So last week, I ran over on time. I apologize. I don't do that very often, as most of you know, and I ran over like 10 minutes. But there was a quote that I actually didn't give to you because I was so far over last week. But I want to start this week's message with sharing this quote from relating to last week, but really as an intro to this week. So here's the quote. It's by Chuck Smith. It says, "In ministry, the top priority is teaching the Word of God. That's what God has called the minister to do. So the top priority of the apostles was waiting upon God in prayer and studying the Word of God so they might teach the people God's Word. Here, problems had developed concerning the physical aspects of the church's ministry. So there was pressure to get the apostles more involved in other activities. But they said, no. Is it desirable that we should do this? Here, we see the apostles guarding against what has become a problem in the church. It isn't right, the apostles said, for us to neglect the Word of God in order to take care of these other issues. It isn't that these other issues were not important or should not be a function of the church. But for those who have been called to be ministers of the Word, their top priority was to minister the Word." And that's kind of my segue into today's passage. This is always my heart, always has been my heart, and I think it should be the heart of every person to teach the Word. And then once we are teaching and studying the Word and in God's Word, then we should seek God on what programs, what outreaches, what other activities we should be serving. But the Word should come first in our personal walk and within the church. Now, I shared kind of a lot about the church there, but what about each one of us as individuals within the church? The last few weeks, we've been in Acts chapter 6, learning about what kind of person the Lord is looking to use within the local church. We can even make a list after studying the passages the last several weeks. We see six items here. One who spends time in the Word. One who spends time in prayer. One who is well-respected. One who is full of the Spirit. One who is full of wisdom. And ones that have been prayed over and had hands laid upon them. Now I hope as we continue our study in Acts that each one of us also would be known in this way, that we could look at these checklists of ways, the things that God is looking for, and we would say, yes, that's me. And I want to be used by God in amazing ways. Because this should be all of our desires, right? To be used by the Lord. And we should each examine our own walks as Christians and look, are these qualifications of our lives that we look at and see? I mean, is this what you would see in yourself if you were to look at that? I mean, well, I guess also, I mean, maybe how do others see you within the church? Do they see you as these qualities? How does God see you? Is this things that would describe you and your own character? Now, we've read in Acts 6 that these men had been chosen, but one man we see will stand out, Stephen. Stephen seems to stand out as a result of his faith, and we see in the filling of the Holy Spirit. And we see that Stephen was full of God's grace and power, as the scriptures say. And that asks the question, are we full of God's grace and power? One way to answer, and no, I think often for me, and I'm going to speak this personally, but I think this applies to everyone, is our reactions, right? Our reactions to the things that happen in the world around us each and every day. How we're treated. I mean, if you take a moment and just reflect on this last week, I don't know about each of you, but just look back at all the things that's taken place. Maybe it's when a guy cuts you off, or maybe when just someone talked not very nice to you. Maybe it's within your relationships with your spouse or your kids or your coworkers. It makes me ask questions. Is this how people would define my character? Or I think there's the opposite of that we look at often. Are you fearful? Are you surprised? Are you worried? Then we have to ask if that's the question. How are we spending our time? How are we spending the resources that God has given us? What is your purpose and calling? And also the question still remains for all of us, where have we placed our faith and trust each and every day? Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time. As we dig into your word here in Acts, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that your spirit, Lord, would just speak to each one of us, Lord. As I look at the different thoughts that I've written down, the different studies and the commentaries I've read, Lord, I just pray that we would just hear from you today, Lord. Lord, as many of us, Lord, have sat down now and we have our Bibles open, your word open before us, Lord, I just pray, Lord, you just remove any distractions and whatever else may be on our minds, Lord, that we right now just surrender before you, Lord. We just lay everything down right now and just want to sit at your feet, Lord, and be bathed in your word. So, Lord, I just pray for your outpouring of your spirit, Lord, and just speak to each one of us through your word. And, Lord, just use this time, Lord, as we worship you through this. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. So we're going to begin again in Acts, and we're going to read here what happens, as I asked the question, when a person is full of God's grace and power, and really then I think steps out. So we're going to begin in Acts chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 8 through 10. Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs amongst the people. But one day, some men from the synagogue of freed slaves, as it was called, started to debate with him. There were Jews from Cyrene, Alexandria, Seleucia, the province of Asia. None of them could stand against the wisdom and the spirit with which Stephen spoke. So I asked right before I read that passage, what happened when a person that is full of God's grace and mercy and power? The result here we see, and I think it's still true today, is that we see amazing miracles and signs that had taken place. Lives being transformed, people getting saved, people repenting of their sins and turning to Jesus. God was using him, Stephen, through the power of the Holy Spirit to share the good news, to share the hope of Jesus. But then we read a dispute came about. It began because of this truth that Stephen was teaching, that salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ alone. These Jewish leaders, they wanted to debate him. Stephen was teaching against their traditional beliefs as he shared Jesus and the resurrection. Now, I think a lot of you maybe have encountered this. I have found myself at times in trouble sometimes with some smaller and some local church leaders. Because often I believe, I hope, I pray, I teach the truth of God's word. And when you do that, that sometimes goes against, unfortunately, some church traditions at times. Such as maybe what exactly is water baptism and who exactly can perform a water baptism. Or maybe communion, who can and cannot partake in communion. Often, there's many church traditions that come in the way of that. But God's word is very clear, I believe. Now, Stephen, he's here, and he's teaching, and his teaching, I believe what it's done, it's taking the power away from these leaders. Because salvation is through faith alone, not through these men in this story, or any other works or acts. It is strictly through faith and belief in Jesus Christ. Now, Stephen, again, I mentioned he's full of the Holy Spirit. This isn't about him. It's because he is full of the Holy Spirit. He's now debating the truth of who Jesus is. And because of this empowerment that he has from God through the Holy Spirit, none of these leaders, these educated men, could present an argument against him because he was speaking truth. This still happens today. A lot of times, very religious men. And I don't think that they're not bad people necessarily, but they want to debate. I've had it happen to me many, many times. Now, I have great conversations with some brothers in Christ about religion and things of the church. That's not kind of what I'm talking about here. It's when they come out and they want to debate with you. And it usually happens right after church. So run up, want to debate. And usually if someone's actually has a real question in the heart, we'll go to lunch and like have some calls. But when they run up from the back, you know something's coming. But they come up and they want to share their own views, in which, you know, I'm not saying they're wrong. Or they sometimes I've seen when people will come in the door, I just had it happen again this week, they want to mention certain sins, right? What do you believe on this? Or what do you believe on that? Is this really a sin? How do you believe that? And what I try to do from my very best is just take them to God's word. Because honestly, my opinion doesn't matter at all. God's word does. And so I try to take them to the passages concerning the questions that they presented. And I ask them, and we read the passages. And then I say, do we believe God's word? Do we trust God's word? And whether or not they accept God's truth, the absolute truth, or not, I can't control. That's way outside of my ability. But the truth is still the truth. And whether they will submit to God's authority, God's word, or not, is up to them. And so often these debates, I don't want to debate. I just want to bring out the scripture. Let's look at the scripture. And often it kind of ends there because it doesn't matter what I think. Now, one thing I've noticed as a kind of a fact as I walk in this world as a Christian, that it's honestly, it doesn't even matter if I like some things or don't like some things or if I necessarily agree. I think often in these debates that we see, the real question of the truth is we have to ask, is Jesus Christ our Lord? And is the Bible your authority or not? Because if we get to that point, we can come to an agreement, I'm sure. But today, just as with Stephen, we can have wisdom. We have wisdom through the studying of the Word, God's Word. And then through the indwelling and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we can also take that and share that truth that we have in God's world, and they will always know where we stand because of God's word. So let's see what's going to happen in verses 11 through 15. So they persuaded some men to lie about Stephen, saying, "We heard him blaspheme Moses and even God." This roused the people, the elders, and the teachers of religious law. So they arrested Stephen and brought him before the high council. The lying witnesses said, "This man is always speaking against the holy temple and against the law of Moses. We have heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth will destroy the temple and change the customs Moses handed down." At this point, everyone in the high council stared at Stephen because his face became as bright as an angel's. We're going to get to that. So the only way that these leaders could defend their position, we see, was to make up false accusations. And again, this was because Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit, speaking truth. These men were unable to win this debate. So they turned to making up lies and attacking really his character of who he was. Now they did this because the only way to combat this teaching and convince, this was the only way they saw they could convince the others that they were correct, is to attack his character and give false accusations against him. These lies worked, though, right, in some sense, I guess, because he was arrested. He would be arrested. These charges were extremely serious that were placed against him. Speaking against the temple and the law was a capital offense. Speaking against God. These were the same charges that were brought up against Jesus that led to his crucifixion. Now, if you look closely at this section of scripture, at these verses, we can see some of these details of what was being presented. I got four things. The first one is that Stephen said, Jesus was greater than Moses, which is true, because Jesus is God. The second one is that Jesus was greater than the temple, which is true, because Jesus is not confined to space or a place. The third one was that Jesus was greater than the law, which is interesting. So the truth is that Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. Now the fourth accusation was that Jesus was greater than their religious customs or their traditions, which was, again, true. So Stephen had glorified God by sharing the truth of who Jesus is, but these men, they were twisting his words and bringing false accusations against him, the same as they did to Jesus. Now, as I read these passages, I have to ask myself if I've ever been in a similar situation. Maybe some of you have been in a similar situation, facing someone giving accusations or lies about you, twisting your words even, maybe even slandering you, because that's kind of what was happening. What's your reaction when this happens? When you're being slandered, being lied about, when they're taking your own words and twisting them, it's not what you really meant to say. We see, what was Stephen's response? What was Jesus' response when he faced this same thing? We read in verse 15 that Stephen's face reflected the love of Jesus. I just find that amazing. As he's being persecuted, as he's being lied about, as he's being accusations, his face shone as a reflection of Christ. What an amazing picture for all of us as we face these things. To know the truth and know Jesus would not forsake him or leave him, but instead of really even defending himself, he just is a reflection of Jesus. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, it says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I will experience a resurrection from the dead. Stephen was sharing the same experiences as Jesus did. From the teaching of him teaching about salvation, him teaching of the resurrection, through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, from him being arrested, to him having false accusations brought before him. So what will happen? Let's see. We're going to jump right into chapter 7, verse 1. Then the high priest asked Stephen, are these accusations true? Now, it's interesting. It's very possible. We don't know for sure, but it's interesting that maybe Stephen has been questioned by the same high priest who had questioned and convicted Jesus. How would you respond in this, knowing this? Stephen had been proclaiming the truth of Jesus. He's now accused of crimes punishable by death. How would you respond? Let's see, verses 2 through 4. This was Stephen's reply. Brothers and fathers, listen to me. Our glorious God appeared to our ancestor Abraham in Mesopotamia before he settled in Haran. God told him, leave your native land and your relatives and come to the land that I will show you. So Abraham left the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran until his father died. Then God brought him here to the land where you now live. This wasn't the defense maybe I would have been expecting. Stephen's defense is very interesting. And I think he does this without frustration, without anger, without fear. Does he even really try to prove his innocence in this? Not necessarily. He right away just goes to point them to Jesus, to the gospel. These leaders had asked Stephen to explain himself, but now what's happened is the door has been opened for him to share. Because we always must be ready to share, because we never know when opportunity may come about to share the good news. And he's taken this opportunity. Now, I know a lot of you have this happen. A lot of people always ask me why I'm here in Southeast Asia. Very common question. What are you doing here? What are you doing? And it opens a door right away for me to share the gospel, because I can tell them about Jesus and how he transformed my life. And then he called me here to Southeast Asia to come here and share with everyone else the gift that I freely received. Now, in this story, Stephen begins with this Bible lesson about Abraham. He begins with the promise, the instruction that God had spoke to Abraham. Then he continues showing him how he was faithful to obey God. We can look at this message or this lesson that Stephen is sharing, and we see several main points that he's making, right? As he's preaching, he's teaching to him. He says, first he addresses him as glorious God, stating that Jesus is God. That's how he begins his message. Second, he mentions that God was present, before the promised land, before the temple, and even before the law, that God is greater than all of these things. Thirdly, Stephen continues to bring the truth that it wasn't by Abraham's perfect obedience that he was considered righteous. It was through faith. And fourth, God had told Abraham to go to the land he promised and leave his relatives. But as we read, he was obedient, but first he settled in Haran and took his family. So he kind of almost obedient. So let's see. Stephen has more to say. Let's look at 5 through 7. But God gave him no inheritance here, not even one square foot of land. God did promise, however, that eventually the whole land would belong to Abraham and his descendants, even though he had no children yet. God also told him that his descendants would live in the foreign land where they'd be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. But I will punish the nation that enslaves them, God said, and in the end they will come out and worship me here in this place. You know, it's interesting, on Wednesday nights we're going through the Old Testament, and we've been studying through Genesis, now we're in Exodus, and we're studying these exact stories. And now, so this stories that happened thousands of years before this, and now here we are, 2,000 years later, and studying these stories. I find that amazing when you look at that. So Stephen now is sharing about God's timing, I believe, and that even though we may not always see his promises fulfilled, it doesn't mean that his promises are not true. They are always true. Even though Abraham didn't completely follow God's instructions as he was given, God's plan would still be fulfilled according to his timing. Again, all this was through faith. Abraham, he had no proof or worldly guarantee that God's promises were necessarily true. But he did have God's promise, and he, in faith, walked in that. Abraham's lifetime, he didn't see. In his entire lifetime, he did not see all of God's promises come to be. But he still remained faithful. Walking out sometimes, or living as a Christian, we see many promises that were given in Scripture. And sometimes as we're given promises, it's hard to walk. It's hard to walk steadfast in faith. Even knowing, as we see people being persecuted in many of the countries that we're from, to just trust and believe that God's in control, to see what's taking place and just know that his promises are still true, it can be tough. But again, he calls for us to have faith and to believe. Now, Stephen, he points out in this lesson that these people, that their spiritual fathers, they weren't perfect. And in fact, that these patriarchs also needed Jesus' grace, the same grace that each of us need today. And we see here in the Scripture, in the Old Testament, here in Acts, that God is using very imperfect people to accomplish his perfect will. And it's all through faith in Jesus. So Stephen has another point he wants to make. Let's look at verse 8. God also gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision at that time. So when Abraham became the father of Isaac, he circumcised him on the eighth day. And the practice was continued when Isaac became the father of Jacob, and when Jacob became the father of the 12 patriarchs of the Israelite nation. So Stephen continues to preach that God's covenant, again, is faith and obedience from each of us. A reminder that these men of God, they received the blessings through his covenant, just the same as we today receive blessings through God through our repentance and faith in him. So now Stephen's going to bring up another patriarch to teach the truths about Jesus in 9 and 10. These patriarchs were jealous, it says here, of their brother Joseph, and they sold him to be a slave in Egypt. But God was with him and rescued him from all his troubles. And God gave him favor before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. God also gave Joseph unusual wisdom, so that Pharaoh appointed him governor over all of Egypt and put him in charge of the palace. Now we see this message is starting to transition to the story of Joseph, which many of us are familiar with. And we know how he was rescued, and we know how he was blessed by God. But as we look at these passages, the Jews, they believed that they were saved by birth, by their heritage, by the law, and through their worship in the temple. But then Stephen is there sharing with them that we're saved by faith in Jesus. This really upset them. In this story of Joseph, we know that God was with Joseph all the time, even before the temple and before the foreign land, which really should have awakened and brought the truth to these Jewish people. So he's going to continue. He shares more. Let's just look at 11 through 16. But a famine came upon Egypt and Canaan. There was great misery, and our ancestors ran out of food. Jacob heard that there was still grain in Egypt, so he sent his sons, our ancestors, to buy some. The second time they went, Joseph revealed his identity to their brothers, and they were introduced to Pharaoh. Then Joseph sent his father, Jacob, and all his relatives to come to Egypt, 75 persons in all. So Jacob went to Egypt. He died there, as did our ancestors. Their bodies were taken to Shechem and buried in the tomb Abraham had bought for a certain price from Hamor's son in Shechem. Again, we see in this that all of God's promises would come to pass. But again, as we see his promises and we read his promises, this is all according to his timing, not ours. And also I see in this story, especially with Joseph, that often there's times that God is doing an amazing work, that great blessings are coming. And often I think there's often a time of trials and persecution that can happen. Stephen has painted a picture, really, I see in this outlining this and teaching them. And it's a picture of Jesus, is what he's done. Jesus is coming, his death, and his resurrection in this passages. That's what I see. God had ordained Joseph to rule over his brothers, but then we see he was rejected by his own family. Later we know they almost killed him, but instead they had sold him into slavery. Now, you read passages like this, it's like, was this part of God's plan? To be sold into slavery? To be tossed in the pit? To go to prison? Many of us know the story, and we know how many years later, Joseph was given this place of great honor, only second to Pharaoh. And then Joseph's family came broken before him, bowing before him as their ruler. They had rejected the very person that God had ordained to save them. The Jewish people had a long history, didn't they, of doing this, of rejecting those that God had sent to save them from their sins? And Stephen is laying this out, patriarch after patriarch, right before them. And through all of this, Stephen is pointing them all to Jesus, the Messiah, the one who had been sent to free them from their sin, but yet again, here they were, rejecting God's messenger. But this time, in rejecting this message, they were rejecting God himself as Jesus Christ. So as I read these passages today, again, this is going to be a three parts on Stephen's life. And I see many different lessons already in these first section. And I think the first thing I see, just to make sure, is that the first and most important point I want to make is that salvation is through faith alone in Jesus Christ. It's not in a building, not in a place, or in a culture or traditions. It is through faith in Jesus alone. Now, the second one that I see already coming out here in this story is that God's promises are always true. And they will continue to be true, and they will continue to be fulfilled. You know, you think about the world today and all that we each face is, sometimes it's hard, but we can have hope and know that God's promises are still true. A pastor that I listened to quite a bit, a podcast, said something a while ago, and as he spoke, he's just a man, but as he spoke, I really believe the Holy Spirit used him to speak to me as it was God speaking to me. And again, that was not him, but the Holy Spirit was using him. And he said this, and I want to share this with you, and it really relates to these passages. And this is for all of us. He said that we are blessed to be firsthand witnesses of God's promises coming true all around us, to be witnesses of God's truth and faithfulness. We have assurance that we have placed our faith in God, who already has everything worked out and has a place prepared in heaven for all who have placed their faith in Jesus. Amen. The third is going back to my questions I began with, asking the question, are we full of God's grace and power? And going back to answer that question, one way to know, often, is to see our own reactions to the things going on around us. You think about it again. Just take a moment and look back on your week. How'd you do? I mean, I'm sure many of us face all these different things that happen to us. Are we loving like Jesus loves? Are we given the same grace and mercy that Jesus does? Or, I gave the alternative when I started, are you living in fear? Are you surprised when we hear about these things taking place in the world as we've heard about the news this morning? Are you worried about these things that are taking place? How are you spending your time? How are you spending your resources? Are you walking in your calling and your purpose that God has for you? Really, the question that still comes back is, where have you placed your faith and trust today? Now, Stephen gave us some great examples to follow. He was full of faith. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of grace. He was full of wisdom. He was surrendered to Jesus, and he was bold to share the gospel, to share Jesus. Again, today was part one of standing faithfully. As we look at this testimony, it's really what this is. It's a testimony of Stephen. We can each look at our own lives and examine our own walk. Are we full of grace and power? I'd like to close with a scripture from Psalm 28, 6 through 9. It says, "Praise the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. I trust him with all of my heart. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. The Lord gives his people strength. He is a safe fortress for his anointed king. Save your people. Bless Israel, your special possession. Lead them like a shepherd and carry them in your arms forever." Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this time. But as we study your word and we see this example of Stephen, as we look in these passages of the early church, as you've called men like Stephen and people like this, Lord, to come full of your grace, full of your power. Lord, I just pray that each one of us, Lord, as we would even, each one of us are sitting here today, Lord, we would just look back on our weeks and look at our relationships and our interaction with those around us, with our families and our neighbors and our coworkers, just the world around us. And as we face, Lord, all the different challenges, as we read the news and we read of assassination attempts, as we see many here that their countries are in war and civil war, as Lord, as we look at this world around us, Lord, and then we look at Stephen and his hope was in you. And Lord, full of the Spirit, Lord, he faced these religious leaders, Lord. As he faced these religious leaders, as he faced accusations against him, as he faced lies, Lord, as he faced them twisting his words, Lord, he just wanted them to know you. That was his heart. It wasn't to defend himself, how dare you, but he was like, I got to tell you about Jesus. Because if you have Jesus in your heart, you'll have love, you'll have mercy. This was a man, Lord, that we see today, Lord, that was just full of faith. Full of your Spirit, full of your grace and your wisdom, surrendered to you and boldly sharing the truth of who you are to the lost. Lord, I just pray for each one of us here, Lord, as we're here and we just read these passages, Lord. There's so much more in these passages, Lord, but I just pray each one of us, Lord, would reflect on that this week. We would see his response to those who persecute him. They weren't of fear. They weren't of a reaction of defense, of how dare you. But then his reaction was, you need to know Jesus. You need to know the truth of who he is and what he did for you and how much he loves you. Lord, it's just amazing to read this, Lord. I just pray for each one of us and especially even myself this week, Lord, as I go out from here. Lord, if there's stuff even this week, Lord, that I need to repent of, Lord, that my actions were not Christ-like. They were not full of grace and mercy. But Lord, I just pray, Lord, through your Spirit, you would just show each one of us the example through Stephen this week. That we would just be led by this message, Lord, through your Spirit, Lord, and that we would walk as he has walked, his face shining for you. That when people saw him, they saw something different. They saw your light, your reflection of him, of you. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for your word. I thank you for this time in your word. Lord, I just pray that you just outpour your Spirit upon this church and protect all those that are going out. Because I know many of them, many people here today, Lord, are even flying out to countries which they face many hardships to walk as Christians, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you just strengthen them, protect them, encourage them, and love them. And show us, Lord, how we can be lifting them up in prayer. Lord, we praise you and thank you, Lord, for this time. And Lord, again, Lord, I pray, Lord, just outpour your Spirit that we would be a light, that people would see us as they saw Stephen that day. They would question. They would look upon us and say, there's something different. And we'd be able to share, as Stephen shared, what's different is Jesus. It's your love, it's your forgiveness, and your grace, and your mercy, Lord. Let us, Lord, be that reflection of you in this world. Let us not go out to defend, but Lord, just to share the love of Christ. And all God's people said, amen.